Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to this Sunday broadcast, Mother's Day, May the 10th, 2020. I want to thank you for tuning in today. And today is Mother's Day. We want to just wish happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers and grandmothers today. And I do want to announce that next Sunday, May 17th, we are planning to reopen our church. We're going to begin with just one service, one Sunday morning service at 10:45 a.m. And then we're also planning a service the following Wednesday night. And both of those will be just everybody combined. We're going to kind of work up to where we were before with our services, just starting with those two services. And of course, we'll be practicing social distancing, and we'll be doing a lot of cleaning before and after those times. And I will be letting you know more details on Wednesday when I send out our newsletter. Also, I'll go over those in our Wednesday broadcast. And so we're looking forward to getting back together. This week, our county sheriff, John Hinton, gave us the okay to go ahead and plan to do that. He was in communication with the Morrow County Health Director, who okayed that for some other churches in the county as well. And so as elders, we discussed that this past week and agreed that May 17th would be the day that we begin to come back together. So hard to believe that it's been almost 2 months that we've not had our church services, but hopefully that will change here and we'll be able to gather back together again. One prayer request to pass along. Mary Jones had called and asked us to pray for her daughter, Sherry. Sherry's not been in good health, and she's had some pneumonia-like symptoms. She's been tested for coronavirus, seen the doctor. And so she just asked us to pray, especially for Sherry, Ed and Mary Jones's daughter. For our scripture reading now, I'd like to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the word that we have here, which we've just read. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ that you have given to us. We thank you for the faith that you have allowed us to see, many of us, from our mothers and our grandmothers. And we thank you for the influence that they have had upon our lives and the influence that we see from other families as well. We thank you for all that you've done for us in these recent days. As we have been confined to our homes mostly, not allowed to meet at church, we thank you for your hand of protection upon us. We look forward to the time when we can regather as a church, possibly next Sunday, and we pray that you would help in the preparations for that. Please keep everyone safe as we would regather again. We pray for the needs of our church. We think especially of those who are sick. Think of Ed and Mary Jones's daughter, Sherry. We pray that you would watch over her and protect her. Pray for others that are recovering and who may not be well at this time. We pray for the spiritual needs that would be in our church. We pray that you would give us all encouragement from your word. Help us to honor you and praise you today. We pray for the spread of the gospel in our community. We acknowledge our limitations at this time, and yet we realize that your gospel, your word, is not bound in the way that we are. And so we pray for the spread of the gospel. We pray that you would choose to allow us to have a part in that. But we pray that you would do your work. We think of our missionaries all around the world as they've also been affected by the decisions and events regarding the coronavirus. We pray for special opportunities for them as they've had to adjust in many of their methods. We pray that you would give them fruit and other open doors of witness. We just ask for your blessing there. We pray especially for our governing officials. We pray for our president, President Trump, Vice President Pence, the congressmen and women. We pray for our state officials, Governor DeWine, even our local officials. Thank you for our sheriff and his communications with us this week. We pray that you would bring all of these people to a knowledge of the Word of God and a true faith. And we pray that you would give them the understanding and wisdom to make right decisions, help them to have accurate information upon which to base those decisions. And we pray for your special grace for our governing officials. We pray that you would allow us to understand your word this morning. We pray that you would do your work in our lives, continue to help us to grow and to change. And we ask for your blessing during this broadcast. And I pray that you would help me as I give your word here now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we're going to have a special song, Mother's Day song, from our coronavirus singers. That's my daughters. And they're going to be singing My Mother's Gentle Love, which is a song written by Ron Hamilton. Thank you. Well, this is an unusual Sunday. It's Mother's Day, and we are still stuck at home because of coronavirus. And maybe you saw the sign that was up here in the area that said something about, we should all understand better the plight of the stay-at-home mother, something like that. What message does a pastor preach for Mother's Day during a pandemic? That was a question that I was asking myself here recently. And perhaps something on Naomi and Ruth, that was suggested to me. You know, they were going through kind of a crisis in that book. But I'm not going to go that direction here today. Perhaps next year there will be a famine in the land during Mother's Day. Maybe that would be an appropriate passage at that point. It certainly would be appropriate this year too. But today I'd like for us to look at the Mother's Day passage that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So we're going to begin in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. When the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Timothy, he was in Rome as a prisoner. He felt that the time of his departure was at hand. He says in chapter 4, verse 6, it seems that this would be the last epistle that Paul would write. What would a man in this situation write to another pastor? Timothy is the man that Paul is writing to. He deeply cares about Timothy. He wants to see Timothy again. He encourages Timothy to be faithful and diligent in his pastoral duties. He warns Timothy of the dangers from within and from without that he would face. We see Paul begins this final letter with a prayer, as he does with many of his epistles. And it's a prayer for Timothy, which was actually a thanksgiving to God. In chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So he's motivated here in this prayer by his desire to see Timothy, remembering his tears. Evidently, in their last meeting, Paul and Timothy said goodbye, and Timothy was in tears as he said goodbye. And Paul remembered that. And Paul knows that it would make him really happy to see Timothy again. And then he says here in this prayer, in verse 5, he talks about what fills Paul with joy about Timothy actually has to do with Timothy's mother and grandmother. Now, maybe a Mother's Day is not very enjoyable for some. You may be somebody who says, well, you know, I didn't have a mother like this, like Timothy had. Or somebody might say, I don't have my mother anymore. And we can look at this passage and we can realize that, you know, that's okay, because we can be like Paul here. What is Paul doing in this epistle? He is praising God for Timothy's mother and grandmother. You know, Paul isn't writing and saying, boy, I really am glad about my own mother. Paul, we don't know anything about Paul's mother. But Paul is praising God in prayer. This is a prayer that he's praying. He's praising God for Timothy's mother and grandmother. And so that is what we will do here today. Whether it is your mother, or you are a mother or not, or if it's somebody else's mother, what we can all do is praise God for what we find here in the scriptures. We can praise God for our own mothers. We can praise God for somebody else's mother that we see that's a positive example. The mothers that we have in our church, we praise God for them. There's two things that stand out here. that for which we can praise God for mothers. We praise God for mothers today. And specifically, first of all, we praise God for a mother's faith. We praise God for a mother's faith. There was something, we don't know what, that reminded Paul about the faith of Timothy and his mother and grandmother. The faith stands out here in this verse. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Praise God for a mother's faith. Notice the characteristics of this faith here in 2 Timothy 1:5. First of all, it was an unfeigned faith. Paul was remembering the unfeigned faith that is in Timothy and was also first in his grandmother and his mother. It was an unfeigned faith. What does unfeigned mean? Well, it means sincere. It's made up of two words. The Greek word's made up of two words. The one for pretend and the other word for without, literally without pretending. It's a word that means without hypocrisy. It means genuine, real, true, sincere. One commentator indicated that it means in no way wearing a mask. Unmask. And, you know, masks are all around us now in the coronavirus pandemic here. And so not wearing a mask is a little bit different idea here today. And whether or not you wear one or not, I think that's up to you. So, you know, let everyone be fully persuaded in their own minds about wearing medical masks. But when we're thinking about faith, we want unmask faith, all right? Unfeigned faith. And the mask here in this word is more the mask that the stage actors would wear when they represented a character. They'd have a mask on, and they were pretending to be that character. And there's such a thing as a pretended faith, as an insincere faith. There may be some that do pretend they have faith. And I think they may or may not even realize that they are pretending. Somebody like that may think that faith means going to church or saying a prayer or getting baptized. A person may or may not have faith and do those things. Sincere, real faith is something that comes from the heart. It takes place in the heart. Timothy and his mother and grandmother all had sincere faith. It was real. It was not just a show that they put on when others were around. We praise God for that kind of faith, whether it be in our mothers or grandmothers or in somebody else's mother or grandmother. Praise God for unfeigned faith. But then we see that it was also a first faith. Notice it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice." Their faith was first. They had it before Timothy had it. Paul may have known about the conversion of these two ladies. We have a little bit of background on this family from Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, we're told about Paul's second visit to Timothy's hometown of Derbe and Lystra. Paul had been there on a first visit, on his first missionary journey. In Acts chapter 14, we read about his first visit. And it was a visit that seemed to end badly, as many of Paul's visits to various towns did. It started off good, or sort of good in a way. He had been almost worshipped as a god there. And then there were Jews that had turned the people against Paul, and he was stoned to death, almost stoned to death after that occasion. And he had to leave. Yet, the Bible tells us that there was a church that was established there, and elders that were appointed in the later part of Acts 14. And then we come to Acts 16, and this was sometime later that Paul came back and visited this area, and there was a church there, and we're told about who was a part of it. Acts 16, verse 1 says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." So those verses tell us that Timothy's mother was a Jew. She was probably kind of an Old Testament type of believer, and perhaps her mother as well in that same category. And these were ladies that most likely were looking for the fulfillment of those Old Testament promises of God, the promises of a Messiah that would come. And so Paul came to that town and he found Timothy there. And Timothy was well reported of by the church there. And he chose Timothy to come with him on his second missionary journey there. But here in 2 Timothy, Paul writes about the first faith of these ladies. It came evidently prior to Timothy's faith. Perhaps it was an Old Testament faith to begin with. There was that foundation of Old Testament promises there. But at some point, there was conversion. Perhaps the Apostle Paul had a part in the conversion of these ladies to Jesus Christ. Paul speaks about Timothy as my child, as it seems that maybe he had a part in leading him to Christ. They may have been Old Testament believers, but there came a point where they saw that Jesus Christ was the one who fulfilled those Old Testament promises. Paul may have led them all to Christ. We don't know. As we think about mothers today, perhaps your own mother or other mothers that you know or grandmothers, if they have faith, there was a beginning to that. We call that conversion. That means that your mother, maybe somebody else's mother, was not going God's way. There was a point in her life that she was going the opposite way of God, perhaps pursuing a life of sin and self-will and some of the consequences that go with that. But then there was a day when she heard God's call to her, God's gospel call, and she turned and responded in faith and repentance. And perhaps it was a dramatic conversion. Paul writes about a dramatic conversion in 1 Thessalonians 1:9. It says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." That was a dramatic conversion. When those believers in Thessalonica were idolaters, they were serving false gods, and then they saw the one true living God, and they turned themselves to God in faith and in repentance. And perhaps for other people, it is less dramatic, more of a quiet and calm conversion, perhaps becoming aware of it over a period of time. But however it happens, it's a reality for everyone who has sincere faith. For these ladies in Timothy's life, Lois and Eunice, there was a conversion to God. Timothy's mother and grandmother were converted. Have you been converted? Has there been a time in your life that you turned to Jesus Christ in faith? There was a time in Timothy's life, in his mother's life, in his grandmother's life, even though they were Jews, even though they had a lot of knowledge about the Old Testament, about God, still there was a time where they saw their need of Jesus Christ, and they turned, and they were the first ones. And then after that, Timothy, but their faith came first. It was a New Testament faith in Jesus Christ. So we see it was an unfeigned faith. It was a similar, it was a first faith, and then it was also a similar faith. This does not mean at all that faith was somehow transmitted from generation to generation. That's not how faith works. You don't have faith just because your mother had faith and because her mother had faith. Faith, the Bible tells us, is the gift of God. God gives it to individuals directly. But in this verse, we see that this family shared the same faith. It was a similar faith. That's a blessing to a family to all share the same like precious faith. There are some families that are related by blood, but they feel that they are very far apart when it comes to faith. They may be parents, children, brothers and sisters, and yet maybe only one person has faith in Jesus Christ, and all the other people in their family don't have it. But here in Timothy's family, we see that they all shared the same faith. The mother, the grandmother, and then Timothy. That was a blessing, not only to Timothy's family, but also to Paul. It's a blessing when we see a family that shares faith in Jesus Christ sincerely. It's a privilege. And if you share faith with your family members, faith in Jesus Christ, you are blessed. If your mother knows Jesus Christ and believes, and perhaps your children do as well, then that is a great blessing. Many families wish that they could have what you have, if you have that. And then let me say this as well. Mothers and grandmothers can influence children and grandchildren simply by having true faith. Sometimes mothers and grandmothers feel like, everything is maybe going against them, and it is such a hard thing to do the job of a mother. As mothers, you think that your children are not getting a good spiritual leadership, maybe from their father or maybe from somebody else. Maybe as a grandmother, you see your grandchildren not getting the kind of spiritual influence that you wish that they had. Let this encourage you. Your faith can influence your children and grandchildren. Paul is talking about faith here. He's talking about the faith of a mother, the faith of a grandmother. And there may be many things that seem to be going against a family, a situation. But look at the impact that a mother's faith can have. Maybe there's nothing else that is going good in a family. But is there real faith in Jesus Christ? Is there a grandmother that really believes? Is there a mother that really believes? Is there a grandfather or a father? What an influence even that is, to know that there is sincere, unfeigned faith in that family. It can have a great impact. So we praise God for it. Praise God for a mother's faith. And then secondly, there's something else that we can praise God for as we look at Timothy's mother and grandmother. And that comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If we flip over a few pages, just one page in my Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul reminded Timothy of all he had learned by example from Paul himself, including suffering. Some of that suffering took place in Timothy's own hometown. It may have been that Timothy witnessed that directly. And Paul was teaching Timothy about things that were going to be coming up in the last days. Perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And Paul is warning Timothy about this. And then in verse 14, he challenges him to continue. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So he's encouraging Timothy not to be shaken by all that's going on around him, but to continue in what he has learned, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And Paul explains where that came from. Timothy had learned from the Apostle Paul, but there's also the implication that he learned from his mother at an early age, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Praise God for a mother's teaching. Praise God for a mother's faith, the example of that faith, but praise God for a mother's teaching. Notice the time of this teaching in Timothy's life. Paul says, and that from a child. The word child here is a word that can refer to even an unborn child. Luke chapter 1, verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. That word babe is the same word for child here in 2 Timothy 3:15. But it can also refer to a very, very young child that has been born. It's used in reference to Christ in the manger in Luke chapter 2. This shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. That word is the word here, child, in 2 Timothy 3. So it seems that from a very, very young age, Timothy's mother was teaching him. It's a reminder that children are capable of more than we give them credit for. Not all learn at the same rate, of course. It doesn't mean that they're going to be able to master the Greek language by the time they're three or anything like that, but they can begin to learn in a basic way, and we need to start them early. And that's what happened here with Timothy's mother. She was teaching him very, very early. I'm thankful that that was the case in my own life. My mother was teaching me very, very early helping me to learn the Bible and to know the Scriptures. So the time of teaching from a child. And then notice the content of this teaching. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's what she was teaching him. The word Scriptures here is different from the word that's used in verse 16 for Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's a different word. The word in verse 15 is the word for letters or script. And it may be an indication that Timothy was learning his ABCs from the Bible. Perhaps he learned to read from the Bible. Perhaps he learned some of his very first words to write based on the words of the Old Testament. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Letters. What was that for Timothy? It was the Old Testament. It didn't yet have all of the New Testament. Even very early on, Timothy was learning the Old Testament. Perhaps his mother was telling him the true stories that were found in the Old Testament from the book of Genesis, the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the account of the Exodus. And Timothy, even as a very young child, was learning the events, historical events that are recorded in the Old Testament. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy's mother led him to rest his faith independently and directly on the scriptures, the word. You know, Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, they were not the independent authorities of truth. I'm sure Timothy had to learn that they were his authorities, but they were not the final authority of faith. Timothy did not become a Christian merely because his mother and grandmother were. We can look around today, and people look around and conclude that people turn out the way they do because of their parents, whether they're Muslims or Jews or Catholics. And it's true that people do make choices for that reason. But people also disown their religions for that reason when they think, oh, it's just a matter of, you know, my family, and that's the way that this has always worked. But I don't think that was the way of Timothy's mother, because she led him to the final authority. She led him to the scriptures, to the word, that from a child thou hast known, not the ancient traditions, not the way that this family works and this is how we do it in our family, but she caused him to know the scriptures. This was a Acts 17:11 kind of approach, a Berean type of approach. It says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Timothy's mother led him to the ultimate authority, the source of truth, the object of faith. She led him to the scriptures so that he for himself could come to true faith. And then we see the power and the purpose of that teaching, of that scriptural content here in this verse. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy's mother's teaching had power because it was the scriptures. Not because of some special ability that she had. What was the power here? What was the ability that the scriptures have? Well, to make thee wise unto salvation. To make wise means to give wisdom. It's used in the sense of teaching and educating. Teaching what? It says salvation, to make thee wise unto salvation. That's the power of the scriptures. Salvation means safety. It means deliverance. It means protection from danger. Many dangers we face in the world today. The COVID-19 pandemic is a danger. And it's one of the spiritual blessings of this time. It's caused people to think about the danger to our own life. You know, it caused people to think about mortality, their own mortality a little bit more. You know, we all want the coronavirus to go away, but we want to capture the spiritual blessings that have come with this time, one of which is people thinking more seriously about life and death. That's something we don't want to go away. There's dangers that come from driving down the road every day, but the greatest dangers are the ones that come as a result of sin. The Bible tells us that sin has a power over us from the day of our birth. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and there are eternal consequences to our sin. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Revelation 21, 8 tells us about the eternal consequences of sin. For the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These are eternal dangers. But the Bible is given to us, the scriptures are given to us, so that we may come to know salvation. In other words, deliverance and rescue from these dangers, from the danger of eternal death and hell. And that salvation comes, it says here, through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. We can have salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. We don't have it through knowledge alone or through works that we do for God, but through faith, a personal confidence in Jesus. Remember, the Bible tells us that even the demons, Satan and his angels, have a knowledge, but they don't have a saving faith. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Faith is something more than knowledge of the truth. It begins with that knowledge, but it also involves a response of the heart in a trustful commitment in accordance with what is believed, in accordance with Jesus Christ. We can have that through the scriptures. The scriptures have the power to make us wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And Timothy's mother evidently recognized that. She laid that foundation in Timothy's life, and he was able to have that knowledge that he needed in order to lead him to true faith in Jesus Christ so that he could be saved. Praise God for a mother's teaching a child the scriptures, which can lead them to salvation. Perhaps you didn't have a mother like that. Perhaps you haven't been a mother like that. But right now, that doesn't matter. First, you need to take care of that first step of faith. If you have never taken that in your life, maybe you've gone through life thinking you can work your way to God, and that if you're just good enough, that God will accept you. Recognize today that that is not the way of salvation. Realize today that knowledge alone is not the way of salvation. You need to take the step of faith from your heart. If you've never done so, today, will you call out to God and ask for his salvation, believing in your heart that he has provided for everything you need to be saved? You can do that today. And today we praise God for mothers. We praise God for the mothers in our own lives. I'm thankful for my own mother, who is an example in both of these areas. And I'm thankful for other mothers and grandmothers that we see around us, for a mother's faith, for a mother's teaching. We praise God for this. We praise God for the mothers in our families who have influenced us in this way, and for the mothers not in our families that we can see are also influencing their own families and us through their faith and through their teaching. And today, we need to be like Paul here, who praised God in prayer for Timothy's mother and his grandmother. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do praise you today for those that you put into our own lives. We thank you for the faith, the unfeigned faith that we see in our own families, in the families here in our church assembly. We thank you for the example that it is. And we thank you, Father, for the teaching of mothers, teaching the scriptures, how important that is. We thank you for those that have taught us the scriptures so that we can have salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you for giving us the scriptures which lead us to true salvation And we pray for any today that are listening to this broadcast who may have not yet taken that step of faith. We pray that you would help them to do that, that they would have true faith in their hearts to call out upon you and to lean upon you and the salvation that you've provided us through Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.